You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension comprised of knowledge, opinions, and entertainment. A journey on a virtual information highway into a wondrous land whose boundaries are more distant than the outer reaches of the Twitter sphere. Your next stop, The Trend Zone.
Hello and welcome to The Trend Zone. Dave here with Casey, and we are the football dudes. Are you ready, brother?
Yes, sir. I am ready.
Next stop, The Trend Zone. And in today's episode, we'll talk some of the coaching changes in our future, the coaching carousel. We'll also do a little fantasy survivor. And, of course, we will preview the super wild card week of NFL action, Casey. Is it mandatory that we say super with this, Casey, every time?
Hell yeah. Super. Thanks for asking.
All right, let's get started. But before we get into all that good stuff, Casey, do you have a tasty nug for the peoples?
Oh, yeah, dude. Always holding. And it's a dank 2020 nug for the peoples, man. What a crazy season. And it was actually the highest scoring season ever for the NFL, a total of 12,692 points.
Wow.
And 1,473 touchdowns scored, Dave. Single season records in the NFL. Bonk City, dude. It was crazy.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Casey. The offseason isn't even necessary. Offenses were just scoring at will, right?
That's right, dude. Oh, man. Lots of fun. Good stuff.
All right. We all love TDs, right? Come on. All right, Casey. Let's move into the top trending stories, Casey. We'll get it started every year at this time after the Week 17 Sunday action passes us by. It is followed by Black Monday.
Oh, yeah, dude. And it seems like every year the NFL's getting rid of five or six, seven, eight coaches. It was six this year. Six teams in the NFL looking for new coaches. Your Los Angeles Chargers, the Jaguars, the Jets, the Lions, the Texans, and Falcons, Dave. Some pretty good jobs out there, though.
No doubt about it, Casey. Some really tasty jobs. And also some GM jobs are available. The Jags, Lions, and Texans, as well as the Falcons, Panthers, and now, recently, the Broncos GM position available. The Texans, I am led to believe, Casey, have hired Nick Caserio of the New England Patriots organization, who they attempted to hire last year but were blocked. They got their guy this year.
GM blocking those tricky, tricky Patriots.
Exactly, dude. All right, Case, that is it for that. We will obviously return to that subject as things unfold throughout the next couple of weeks. And obviously, there's tons of good candidates out there, whether they're from the NFL ranks, some retreads, mostly some up-and-coming coordinators. And then, who knows, there could be a couple of college guys that make the jump, Casey. But let's go ahead and get into the Three Strikes Survivor pool. Who did you have and how did it go?
Dave, this was uncharted territory for me, bro. I actually made it through the season. I went with those right. Bucks over the Falcons, and I'm moving into the postseason, dude. I don't know what it's like. I'm usually dead like the first 3 or 4 weeks of the season. I made it.
I had the same pick as you, Casey. I missed week one with my first strike, and then since then I've run the table, so I'm in the postseason as well. It is not going to be easy, though.
No, dude, and for week 17, the most popular correct pick was the Saints over the Panthers. The most popular incorrect pick were my Cowboys over the Giants.
And Casey, heading into next week, Tampa Bay over Washington is the pick that's out in front right now is the most popular.
As you don't think the Bucks are winning the Super Bowl, you can do that.
That's right. You can go ahead and use that team early. Or outsmart yourself, Casey. I know what that's like. I do that all the time. All right, Case. Let's get out of this nonsense known as the Survivor and get into the actual action known as the NFL Super Wild Card Weekend. It is six games loaded, seven teams in each conference, the first top seeds in each conference with the bye. That's Kansas City and Green Bay. Taking the week off, Casey. But this is going to be some good stuff. Let's get it started.
Yeah, dude, got heavyweights in the first round because of the way they work those buys now. And the tasty triple shot on Saturday, we got the number 7 Indianapolis Colts at the number 2 Buffalo Bills. And the Bills are 6.5-point favorites at home, Dave. Talk about these Colts.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what. Heading into this game, the Colts are going to need to keep that potent Buffalo offense on the sidelines as much as possible. They're going to want to win that time of possession with long drives and certainly resulting in touchdowns in order to stay up with that Buffalo team. But Rivers has got to, as we've talked about week in and week out, avoid the costly turnover that's plagued them the last couple of years. They can't lose the turnover battle in this one, expect to win. You know what? Rivers has only 11 interceptions on the season, so it's not that bad. And the offensive line has done a good job protecting him back there. He doesn't get sacked that often. But he has to be smart with the football. His connection with T.Y. Hilton, though, Casey, after a slow start, has really come on strong lately. And really, this is going to come down to Jonathan Taylor really having a huge role in this game, dude. He led all rookies in scrimmage yards with 1,468. And wow. 12 TDs. So he has really had a heck of a rookie campaign. And he's coming off a ginormous week where he had 252 yards and 2 touchdowns with an 8.4 yard average. So he's really cranking right now at just the right time. And that Buffalo defense is going to have their hands full. Receiving the football, besides just T.Y., you've got Pascal Pittman and a handful of tight ends that are pretty impressive. Hines out of the backfield, though, has been really good for this team receiving the football, and they're going to need him to do that, too, to sort of find ways to move the chains on those third and shorts, third and mid-range plays. You know, the offensive line, though, has to do its thing and really keep Rivers from getting flustered back there. He just is not good under pressure at this point, Casey. Defensively, this has been a great defense this Colts team has fielded this year, but they will be challenged by that Buffalo offense. It's high-powered. But they are defensively top 10 in yards, points, and their weak spot, though, versus the pass. Not a great situation versus Buffalo. They're really good against the run. They're second best in the league, so they're going to look to make Buffalo one-dimensional and then try and limit the Bills' opportunities and Josh Allen through the air, man.
Good luck with that, Andy.
Yep.
They got their hands full, man. The Bills are hosting their first playoff game since 1996, so the 6,000 or 7, whatever they're letting in, will be lathered up and ready to go. The Mafia will be representing. But, Dave, when I say the Bills are so hot right now, the Bills are so freaking hot right now. Dude, 6 in a row, 9 out of the last 10. The only game they lost was that Hale Murray play in Arizona. Otherwise, it would have been 10 in a row. And from weeks 9 through 17, the Bills led the league in scoring, averaging almost 38 points a game, dude.
Wow.
Getting it done. And they're the first team to enter the playoffs, winning 6 games all by double digits since the 2014 Seahawks, man. They are just beating the crap out of teams, like scoring 56 points on the Finns week 17. That put them over the 500-point marker on the season. So, man, this is a crazy efficient offense.
Yep.
And why did that happen? Oh, because Josh Allen completed over 69% of his passes for over 4,500 yards and 37 passing touchdowns, man. The guy had such a phenomenal year. If it weren't for Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes, he's in that conversation, dude. You got to put him up there. He's not going to get the love because of those guys, but he's playing that good.
Agreed.
And, dude, these Bills lead the league on third down, converting 49.7%. That's how you keep drives going, man. That's how they're stacking all those numbers. And the dude doing it, Stephon Diggs, became the first Bill to lead the league in receiving yards and receptions, 127 for over 1,508 touchdowns. Man, that is just what the doctor ordered, man. That opened up a whole new world for Josh Allen, dude.
It sure did, man. He's a huge part of that transformation from year 2 to 3, where Josh Allen's completion percentage went way, way up. And, man, is he playing well.
Definitely, dude. Cole Beasley's having a career year, too, but he's probably not going to play on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't play last week because that leg. Isaiah McKenzie came in and went 6 for 65 and 3 touchdowns. They just got John Brown back. They added Kenny Stills. I don't know if he's going to make it to the active roster for this, but Gabriel Davis has really emerged. He's got 7 TDs, so plenty of guys for Josh Allen to throw to there, dude. And then you flip it over to the defense. The final 6 weeks of the regular season, the Bills were fifth, allowing just over 18 points a game. So you add all those points they're scoring, and all the points they ain't letting you score, man. That's why they are
lopsided victories, right?
yeah. 10 different players with an interception, 26 takeaways. That was good enough for third in the league. But they also led the league in kick return, getting the ball out there, creating a shorter field. And their punt,
the hidden yards,
So, you know, they're doing good stuff in special teams and defense and offense. Just a complete, complete team, man. They're so fun to watch. Oh, and, dude, Frank Reich, the Colts coach, he's coming back to Buffalo. You might remember a little game he played in for the Bills.
That's right.
That 32-point comeback against the Oilers in the wild card game. Reich had 4 passing touchdowns that day. They all came after halftime. Bills Mafia wants to see a different Buffalo quarterback throw a bunch of touchdowns on Saturday. This game is going to be a lot of fun, dude.
Tons of fun, dude. All right, we will move it on. Up next is our Los Angeles Rams at the Seattle Seahawks. The Seahawks at home are favored by 3.5 this in this one, Casey. And these teams split the season so far, so this is the rubber match.
Yeah, dude, the Seahawks won just a couple of weeks ago, but this is going to be a different-looking Rams team this week.
No doubt about it, dude. The Rams have huge question marks at the QB position right now with Goff and the broken thumb or dislocated thumb, whatever you want to say, that had surgery just a short while ago. They said he looked okay passing the football in pregame activities last week, but they went with Wolford instead of AAF Hotshots fame, Casey. And Wolford actually had a pretty strong game early on. It looked like he was maybe in over his head. He threw an early pick, but he really settled in, and they did a great job letting Wolford use his legs. He's more of an athletic quarterback, and they really put his skills to use in their offense last week. Sean McVay, masterful at guiding Wolford along in a very nice performance. Goff himself has been hot and cold this season, so we don't know if he'll be able to go. They're keeping it a secret up until as long as they possibly can, right, to keep the Seahawks prepping for two quarterbacks, basically, with kind of different skill sets there. But Wolford, more athletic, more mobile, and really the Rams, either guy, whichever guy goes, they'd love to be able to pass versus this Seattle defense that's been really bad at defending the pass. I know we've talked about them lately. They have been improving without a doubt, but they still have statistically the worst pass defense in the NFL. Now, whether it's healthy, semi-healthy Goff or Wolford, they're going to need to run the ball well and play great defense. And they've been doing that, certainly to play the great defense thing too. But if they do pass the ball, and again, they're going to want to because the opportunities there against that D. Cooper Kupp missed last week because of COVID-19. He's going to be eligible for this, and they're looking like he's pretty much a go to play. So he'll be joining Wood and Reynolds and Jefferson and the tight ends Higbee and Everett out there. This is a group of receivers that can certainly catch the football and make some damage happen. But let's go back to that ground game. It's Cam Akers, dude, the rookie, who's going to be carrying the rock for the most part. And he missed some games and was banged up a bit, but he should be good to go. He's definitely their top back. He has 80 or more yards in 4 of his past 5, so he's really been playing well now. And they're going to be needing Cam to sort of have some explosive game ground games during this one so that they're nice and balanced, hopefully. Defensively, this team has been awesome, dude. They are number 1 in total yards, points, and against the pass, and they're 3rd against the run. So this is a extremely balanced and stout defense. They're 2nd in sacks with 53, obviously led in that department by Aaron Donald, the monstrous beast with 13.5 sacks there on the interior line. Jalen Ramsey And the secondary has also been exceptional. And he obviously is going to have the task probably of mirroring DK Metcalf all day. So that is going to be win some, lose some there, I think, for both those guys. Whatever happens, they are going to need to play great defense because Russell Wilson and that Seattle team know how to get the win late. They got to get it done defensively.
Yeah, dude, Seattle's coming in this game winning 6 out of the last 7. But, Dave, this team is such a yin-yang team. They're up in one area, deficient in another, man. But still one hell of a football team. No quarterback started hotter than Russell Wilson. But he's definitely come back down to the pack. The good news, 40 touchdowns. That's second in the league. The bad news, 13 interceptions. That's second worst in the league. But where they make their money is in the red zone, dude. Over 73% when they get down in there inside the 20. Russ likes to get it in the end zone. DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, they both finished with over 1,000 yards. And you mentioned Ramsey going to be the matchup on DK. In week 10, he covered Metcalf for over 77% of his routes. That's the most he's done against a specific wideout this season. Held to no receptions on 2 targets. So that was something that really worked for them. So you might see Ramsey on him a lot more. But when he's on Metcalf, that means he's not covering Tyler Lockett. But that's also right. Look for Russ to, you know, spread it around to the tight ends. They should have Olsen back for this one. Would be a good pick-me-up there. But he's also got Disley and Hollister. And they signed Luke Wilson, old Seahawk favorite, back to the practice squad. I expect Russ to go down there and get a lot of passes to these guys. They should get Carlos Hyde back for this one and Penny. It looked like that might have been a bad injury last week, but it looks like he might be able to go this weekend. And Chris Carson, obviously, this guy has been a great back for the Seahawks when he's been in there. So I really love the 1-2 punch with him and Hyde. More good news, they should have their entire starting offensive linebacker for this one, Dave. It's only happened 5 times where they've had all 5 starters there, and every time that happened, they won the game 5-0. So
nice.
If you're looking at stars or whatever, that's a pretty good sign there. Flip it over to this defense, dude. Jamal Adams, they said, we're not going to know until game day. He says, I'm playing no matter what.
Right.
Got to have this guy. He led the team in sacks with 9.5, and he missed 4 games, dude, and that's still the most by a defensive back since 1982. So just a great fit in that defensive scheme with Pete Carroll there. So I like what they're doing there. The bad news for this team is they're not good on stopping teams on third down. They give a lot of those up. They're not good at stopping the pass. You mentioned that. They're 31st in the league. They are good at stopping the run, just over 95 yards a game. And more bad news for that Seahawks secondary. They have allowed 55 passing plays of over 20 yards, man. So the big play is there to be gotten. Luckily for them, if it's Wolford in there or Goff with a bad thumb, maybe that's not going to be a part of the Rams' arsenal. But the Seahawks defense went from allowing almost 29 points a game over the first 10 weeks to just over 15 the last half. Man, that's a dramatic improvement, and it looks like they're going to be that way. And more bad news for the Rams, they haven't scored a touchdown on offense in their last 2 games. So that being said, it looks like this is going to be a low-scoring game, and points are going to be critical, dude. So I would look to the kicking game of both teams. Man, this is going to be a grimy, grimy battle, dude.
Ooh, boy, and I tell you, that tends to favor Russell Wilson and the Seahawks because, man, do they know how to win when there's a couple minutes left and work needs to be done. That's when Russ gets cooking, bro.
Oh, yeah, man, that is going to be a lot of fun. All right, Dave, the Saturday night nightcap is the 5-seed Tampa Bay Bucks at the 4-seed Washington football team, and the Tom Brady's are 7.5-point favorites on the road.
All right, dude. Well, Tom Brady and the boys have had some great games this season and some not so great games, but lately they've been playing very well, having won 4 straight. Their offense on the season, 3rd in points per game at 30.8, and they've allowed the fewest sacks, 22. So obviously it's a pretty good offensive line, but Tom Brady knows how to get the ball out of his hands ASAP, and that's going to be super important in this game. because the best part of that Washington team really is their front four and really their front seven, but really they want to get after the quarterback, and Tom Brady's great at frustrating pass rushes by just getting it out of his hands efficiently. If somebody's coming at him, he's going to unload it as soon as he possibly can. So he was sacked just 22 times on the season, I mentioned. So, and he's in his 42nd playoff game, dude. So he is as comfy as he can be.
Is that a lot?
That is a ton, dude. So even though he's on a new team and all that good stuff, this is his comfort zone, basically. Mike Evans, we saw go down with the knee injury there last week, but there's no structural damage in that knee, and there's optimism that he will be able to play. That would be huge. Line him up along with Godwin and Gronk and Antonio Brown, and you've got arguably the best receiving group in the entire league right there. Those guys can really make some plays for Tom Brady. And in particular, Antonio Brown has really kind of come along lately and shown that he's still got it. So that's going to be a nice arsenal for Brady. On defense, this team has been phenomenal, really. They've allowed the fewest rush yards per game at just over 80 yards a game. And they're tied for fourth in sacks with 48. So Lavonte David, JPP, and Ndamukong Suh, they've got good guys up there in that front seven that really get after it. And their secondary is awesome, too. But even with all those sacks, the weak spot is versus the pass. It is, and that might be a problem here versus a hurt Antonio, or excuse me, Alex Smith or Heinicke. It might not be as big of an issue in this particular matchup, depending on what's happening at quarterback for this Washington football team. But we know, Casey, a particular player for the FT has mentioned he wants Tom. And whew, I'll tell you what, in the past, when people have managed to give Tom Brady bulletin board material, he has managed to make them pay. We'll see how that works out for Mr. Chase Young on Saturday.
Yeah, man, this is an interesting game. You know, week 17 was the first time the FTs scored on an opening drive all year. They just hadn't done it, and they actually scored 10 points in that first quarter. That was the most they've scored in almost two full seasons. So not a fast-starting team, this football team is, but despite saying that, you can't say enough about Alex Smith. I mean, hands down, the comeback player of the year.
Yep.
I'm a Cowboys fan, and I even like this dude, man. It's hard not to root for him. It's not just the injuries, the entire journey, how it started with the Niners and then the Chiefs. Just, you know, he deserves to be here, and all the good things that you can say about him and this Washington offense, the big play is not one of them.
Yeah.
He's one of the worst air yards passing efficiency. That passes over 20 yards. He's only 10 of 24 on that. Just over 300 yards, two TDs and an interception. So they don't really air it out there. And I am really worried about that gaff. And you mentioned Ron Rivera said he might be forced in a rotation of Heinicke and Alex Smith. Not ideal in the playoffs. But
no. You
know what? If you got to do that, just start Alex Smith, because when they start him, he's 5-0. So just start him and put Heinicke in there, you know.
No worries.
It's going to work out, yeah. the running backs here, both of them have over 950-plus scrimmage yards. I'm talking about Antonio Gibson and J.D. McKissic. Gibson's more the runner. McKissic's more the guy catching passes out of the backfield. But a very lethal 1-2 combination there, man. You have to tackle these guys and get them to the ground. Terry McLaurin, he led the team with 87 receptions, over 1,100 yards. He's a little banged up, but, dude, if he's going to be the guy, he's got to step up in this game and prove he's a legit number one. Logan Thomas, the big tight end, over 70 catches and 670 yards, six touchdowns, former quarterback at Vatek. He knows how to see the field. I think that's why Alex Smith likes him so much.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned, dude, the defense for this team and Chase Young calling out, I want Tom Brady. Well, Bruce Arians says, you know what? Be careful what you wish for, because sometimes you get what you're asking for, dude. this guy was 1 year old. when Brady got drafted. So he's got a lot of experience. So I think getting a sack against this guy would really stoke him out, dude. This
Yeah.
FT defense, second in yards allowed, second in pass yards. Even better in the last four games, only over just 155 a game through the air, really shutting teams down. Fourth in points allowed, and fifth in interceptions, sixth in sacks. Only, dude, they've only given up 81 third down conversions on the season, just over five a game. So they're making teams punt and getting them off the field, dude. And where they are really good is in the second half of ball games. They're the NFL's best in second half defense, allowing just over 5 points a game in the second half of ball games, dude. It's just
Wow.
crazy. And at
Wow.
home, even better, just 30 points after halftime, all season long at home. And they just tighten up, and the depth of that squad shows, and the beef up front, all those first round picks. And you mentioned Chase Young. Normally I say don't write checks your body can't cash, but I feel like this guy can, although I don't think I'm gonna talk trash before a Tom Brady playoff game. We saw that in Pittsburgh a couple years ago.
Oh boy.
So we'll see if he's going to learn this one the hard way. But Dave, since 2010, teams that finished below 500 in the regular season are 2-0 in the wild card round.
Right? Yeah.
And Ron Rivera was the head coach of one of those in 2014. So football team's going to win this game, the defense has to carry it, efficiency on offense. But man, that is a tough task because that Buccaneers squad is stacked, man.
No doubt. Well, two great defenses going against each other. One Hall of Fame GOAT quarterback against either Alex Smith banged up or a cold Heine. Well, Heineken, right? So we'll see what we get there. All right, Case, moving it on. Next action up on the board is the Baltimore Ravens at the Tennessee Titans. Ravens on the road, favored by 3.5 in this one.
Yeah, dude, Lamar Jackson set all kinds of records, already reigning league MVP, but he's only 0-2 in the playoffs, and he's gotten off to slow starts in both of those games. But the Ravens have been red hot, winning five in a row, and during that streak, over 37 points per game and giving up just under 18 points a game. So they're really clicking, and they haven't lost a game by more than 6 points all year long, dude. This is
Wow.
a solid squad, and I think they're kind of, it's weird to say that they're sneaking up on people, but they've
Yeah, a
kind
little
of done
bit.
that, dude.
Yeah.
They're the number one rush team in the NFL. Jackson over 1,000 yards, but rookie, dude, J.K. Dobbins over 800 yards, 6 yards a carry, dude, nine TDs, including a rush TD in six games straight. Man, this guy is sniffing out the end zone, and he's really invigorated that run game, throwing Edwards and Ingram. And, dude, it's just bruising backs left and right, man, making you pay, dude. Hollywood and Andrews, a couple former Sooners there, combined for over 1,400 yards and 15 touchdowns. But, Dave, they still don't have a true, I can get mine anytime, number one wide receiver. That's what they really need to get this offense to the next level. Despite all that, it's a very tricky offense to game plan for. So the Titans are definitely going to have their hands full there. And then you flip it across to the defense, dude, allowing under 19 points a game. That's second in the NFL, and they're really a top 10 defense across the board in all the different categories. They added Calais Campbell and Derek Wolfe to this front end to try to slow down Henry after what he did last year to these guys
Woo!
in the playoffs. And this game really is going to depend on it. But I was looking back at last year. The other thing with these Ravens is last year they ran away with that division. They sat all their starters in week 17, and then they had a bye week, man. They had just coasted so long that when they got punched in the mouth, they weren't quite ready for it. They're not going to be taken by surprise in this game, but they are still going to have their hands full.
Yes, they are, man. This is going to be a heck of a matchup. Obviously, you mentioned last year, Tennessee ended Baltimore's season last year. Tennessee also beat Baltimore in week 11 in an overtime matchup this year, and it took Kansas City to knock Tennessee out of the playoffs last year in the AFC title game. So this is a team that knows how to win in the playoffs, okay? And this is a physical squad. This is going to be arguably the most physical football game of the weekend between both of these squads that love to just play physical, hard football, strong running, strong defenses. Titans offense ranked second in the NFL with just under 400 yards a game, and they've had over 400 yards a game in six of the past seven. So they've been very consistent in playing very good offense. They're ranked second in rushing and are a bit below average in passing, but Tennessee ranked fourth in the NFL overall with 30.7 points a game. So overall, the offense really is clicking and putting points on the board. When they get in the red zone, they really are a very good red zone team. Ryan Tannehill has been good with the ball. Only seven picks on the season and combined 40 touchdowns between running the football and passing the football. So those are some sweet numbers there. When he is passing it, look for A.J. Brown to get a bunch of catches. He led he had career highs in 70 catches, 1,075 yards and 11 touchdowns this season, so all career highs. And he's on a pretty good tear. He's pretty consistent. So
Corey Davis, he looks like a Hulk out there. Like,
yeah,
little
he's monstrous.
Kids are playing against him. It's insane, man. That dude is a stud.
Yeah, and he's fast too. So he goes up. He strong arms the football. He brings it down, and then he moshes on people like this. This is the MO of this team, dude. Corey Davis also. Last time these two teams played in Week 11, he had 113 yards on five grabs, so he had some big plays in there too. Jonnu Smith, the tight end, has been a pretty good red zone weapon for these guys. But really, Casey, this all is about King Henry. That's what this team revolves around. If they're going to win, he's going to play a strong game. He's going to have a huge role. He led the NFL with 2,027 rush yards, 17 touchdowns. He rushed for 130 yards and a touchdown the last time these teams played in Week 11, and it came away with that ending of the game run, if you remember, where he was mowing down the field for about 30 something yards to finish off that football game. So very impressive season for Henry, and he just seems to get better and better as the game goes on, as the season goes on. He just keeps peaking, and 200 plus scrimmage yards in two of his past three in the postseason. So he's played very well. Wow. in the playoffs. So 195 rushing yards in 2019 in the divisional meeting between these two teams. So another piece of evidence that this guy is ready to roll. Defensively, Tennessee is below average in yards and points. Their weak spot, though, is the pass, so that might not hurt him as much in this matchup against a Baltimore team that's not very good at passing the football. So hopefully it works out for this Titans defense. Their weakness is not something that will be overly exploited in this game, but they're not that good in the red zone either. They're 30th in the red zone, and they haven't gotten after the quarterback either. Just 19 sacks, that ranks them third from the bottom in the NFL. So their defense, though, it seems to make timely plays. When it needs a big play, it gets one. But they're basically going to look to hammer the football, make some timely plays with Tannehill and his arms and his legs to move the chains, and hope that they can kind of make this Baltimore team one-dimensional, which they pretty much are, but hopefully that one dimension won't mow them over. It's going to be a great matchup.
I know, dude. It's going to be a bummer to see one of these teams out of the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt,
after
dude.
Week one. Man, it's going to be rad, though. All right, Dave, and then we move it on to the middle game on Sunday. It's the 7-seed Chicago Bears at the 2-seed New Orleans Saints, Dave, and the Saints are 8-point favorites at home.
Yeah, the Saints won in Week 8, the Week 8 matchup against these Bears, so that bodes well for them.
Yeah, you know, dude, everybody wants to kill Trues, but they've gone 6-3 when in the games he started, dude. And the last five, and he's over 70% completions, almost 1,500 yards, 10 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. That's the bummer, and a 96 rating. But ever since Lazor took over as a play caller, they've been doing more of what Troops is good at, RPOs, rollouts, and play action, and it's really helped the offense. Part of the reason all that stuff has started to work, though, is because over the last six games, David Montgomery has been killing it, bro.
Sure
ends
has.
This season, top five in rush and scrimmage yards, and he's got at least one TD in five games in a row. And they're going to have to be able to run the ball in this game to help Troops out. They still haven't found a number two receiver to take the pressure off Allen Robinson. Mm-hmm. Still great, had a tremendous year. And Jimmy Graham, dude, with an 8 TD resurgence, man, back off left for dead there. So those have been nice targets too. But they need more out of this offense. But what they really need is Troops just to play within himself. He'll make some plays for you. He's just got to avoid the bad play. Defense has been okay, but they need Khalil Mack just to dominate this game. Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan, they're both well over 100 tackles. And up front, Akeem Hicks, at times this guy can be a game changer. Sunday needs to be one of those times, dude. It's going to take a very, very clean game for the Bears to steal a win in this. They can get it done if they play good enough. But, man, that's going to be a tough game against a very hungry and a team that's been to the playoffs several years in a row in these Saints.
Yeah, and that's a perfect segue into my start, Casey, which is this Breeze's last season? Because this is a team, like you just said, has been kind of knocking on the door of another Super Bowl berth for the last handful of seasons, and they've just come across some really bad luck in a handful of them. Obviously, the Minnesota, the miracle in the Minneapolis, and then the non-interception call when they were playing the Rams last year going out against the Vikings. It's just been a couple of years here, three really in a row, that this is a good enough team to be in the Super Bowl and to win the Super Bowl, but have found a way not to get there. Saints offensively, though, playing pretty good football, ranked fifth in points per game at over 30 points a game. Breeze missed four games, as we know, with the cracked ribs, and returned to action for the last three games. He played very well last week after knocking off the rust. That first game sort of was a little bit of a transition to get him back in there, but he did play exceptionally well last week. Last week they had to play without any running backs due to the COVID situation. Kamara was on the list, and every contact with him, basically the entire running back room, was avoided. So they were patchwork last week. But Kamara looks like he'll be off the list in time to play for this one, but he won't be able to practice all week, so that's going to be a setback. But, hey, there's plenty of dudes that don't practice all week, and then they go out on Sunday and they kick butt. That's what they're going to need him to do. Like the last time he played, when he was absolutely incredible, scoring six touchdowns on Christmas Day and that destruction of the Vikings. You know what? The Saints should have the rest of the running backs active too. So that should mean, if nothing else, Kamara is going to get a ton of action, and Latavius Murray probably gets some nice quantity of touches too. They'd love to distribute the ball between those guys. But Kamara has been absolutely monstrous. He leads the team in rushing and receiving, right? So 900-plus yards rushing and 750-plus yards receiving for a total of 25 touchdowns on the season. That's just monstrous numbers right there. So he's been outstanding this season. Also in the receiving groups, Michael Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, and Jared Cook at tight end, rounding out that receiving group. So look for them for Breezer to distribute the ball around, but obviously Kamara is going to be a huge, huge factor, assuming all systems are go with him. The Saints defensively, Casey, ranked fourth in total yards allowed per game. So a very impressive unit here. They were fifth in points allowed per game, too. So nice, strong, very good versus the pass and the run. They're not as good in the red zone, though, strangely enough. One of the worst teams in the red zone. But overall, very balanced. They get after the quarterback very well with eighth in sacks with 45 on the season. So this defense is really talented, and they are going to make it challenging for Trubisky and company to get the ball moving downfield consistently, man.
Yeah, Bears getting a break, though, that dome is going to be empty, man. It's not going to be rocking like normally would be for a playoff game. Kind of a bummer.
Yeah, no question about that, Casey. Obviously, one of the disappointments, because the fever that place has in the playoffs is outstanding. All right, Casey, moving along for the final action of Super Wild Card Weekend. We got the Cleveland Browns at the Pittsburgh Steelers for the third game of the season. Steelers at home favored by 4, and these teams split on the season after Cleveland winning last game there, just to sneak into the playoffs there, Case.
Yeah, dude, it wasn't enough pressure for the Browns to be back in the playoffs for the first time since 2002. Now they have to prepare for it with virtual coaching sessions.
That's
and
right.
They're going to play this game without their head coach, Kevin Stefanski, man. Kind of a bummer there.
Yeah.
No real good way to look at that. But why are the Browns back in the playoffs? Because Baker is taking care of the ball, dude. He had 21 interceptions last year, only 8 this year, man. And
nice.
Pittsburgh is so good versus the pass and not only getting pressure on but sacking the quarterback. Baker's got to be very careful and smart with the football and make some good choices out there. And he's going to have to make some plays with his legs too because they're going to be bringing heat. The Brownies went out and got Austin Hooper, the big tight end from Atlanta. They brought him in with a big contract in the offseason. It's not really worked out the way they thought it was going to be, but the last few weeks, over the last 3 games, 26 targets and 2 touchdowns. So maybe that's a way that the Brownies can get the ball downfield a little bit against these Steelers. Peoples, mm-hmm. Jones, and Higgins have really started to come on too, and Baker seems to have that mojo going with Juice. You know, when Stefanski came, he brought that kind of the run game from the Vikings that they do over there, and he's got Bill Callahan, maybe the most underrated offensive line coach in the league. He's been around a long time.
Yes, he has.
Cleveland Browns team actually finished first in both run and pass blocking grades. So Callahan just doing another great job with another offensive line. Speaking of run blocking, dude, the Browns know how to run block and they know how to run the damn football.
Yeah,
bro.
They do, man.
They get it done. Almost 150 yards a game, led by Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. This dude is nasty, bro. Really only played 11 games. He was in for the Cowboys game when he got hurt. So really only 11 games, over 1,000 yards, and 6 yards a carry, dude.
Wow.
This guy gets it done. He's only had 20 carries in a game twice this season, 2-0 in both those games when he did that, 238 yards and 2 touchdowns, 5.7 yards a carry. So, Dave, I'm telling you, get this guy 20 carries in the game and you should be okay.
Right.
You know, talk about Kareem Hunt. He adds another 1,100 scrimmage yards. They got 23 touchdowns between them, and that production helps them help Baker, and that's what these guys need to do on Sunday. And over Pittsburgh started the season really stopping the run, but over the last 4 games they've allowed – 144 yards a game and over a touchdown and 4.5 yards a carry. So maybe that week off, sitting all those guys last week did them good, or maybe that's a problem due to some of the injuries that they've had there. I'm speaking defense. On defense for the Browns, mm-hmm. they're getting their leading tackler, B.J. Goodson, back. He's missed the last couple weeks, and he's a catalyst for the energy on this defense, and that's good news. But the bad news, bro, they lost Olivier Vernon last week. He tore his Achilles.
Brutal.
A nice veteran player that's not going to be there, so someone's going to have to step up. And the other guy that's got to step up has got to be Myles Garrett. Led this team with 12 sacks. He's got to wreak havoc in this game, Dave. He's got to be a playmaker and a game changer in this one. The Browns have the talent to compete with the Steelers. They don't have as much experience there, but this is going to be a grimy, like you said, the rubber match in the season series, man.
No doubt about it, dude. And we talked about briefly, so this is the third one. Obviously, last week's didn't have the Pittsburgh Steelers at full strength. The one that did was in week 6, and the Steelers won that one 38-7. So let's not look too much at that one, though. It's been a while since that happened. The Steelers were on an absolute tear back then. And since then, the Browns have really got themselves going in the right direction. But let's take a little history trip through the playoff memories of the Steelers. Last time they were in the postseason, Casey, their season ended, and this is going to sound weird, but with a loss to Jacksonville in January of 2018, 45-42. That was the last time the Steelers were in the playoffs. So crazy, mind-blowing stuff. Now Jayville, of course, is on the clock to pick number one in the NFL draft. But let's come back to the future, or back to the present, really. Steelers started off 10-0, lost 3, and then got back on course before losing that finale while they rested those players. So there was a time in there when it was seeming like they couldn't lose a game, and then there was a time where it didn't seem like they were going to win another game, you know, and they've kind of balanced it out now. Big Ben has had a solid season, not as much of a typical Ben season that you'd think of when he's extending plays and going deep for the big balls. It's totally different now with Big Ben getting the ball out really quickly and opting for way more shorter routes. So it's a different approach than they've traditionally had with Big Ben and his big arm. And, you know, they are a fast-paced, get the ball out of Ben's hands offense, man. Now, this has actually really helped their offense, and they've only allowed 14 sacks on the season. So that's the fewest by a Pittsburgh team in the Super Bowl era. That's how different they, you know, that's just a different vibe for Ben, you know. And Juju Smith-Schuster coming off a very strong season, 9 touchdowns, 97 catches there. But Deontay Johnson also has really emerged as a great player. He had career highs with 88 catches, 923 yards, and 7 receiving touchdowns. And in the last game that they just played in week 17, he had 96 yards. So he played very well. Also, Chase Claypool, the rookie, he had 9 receiving touchdowns. That's the most by a rookie in Pittsburgh Steelers history. So he could be a factor in this game, too. Good receiving group there overall. And also, Claypool just came off 101-yard receiving weekend with a touchdown last week against the Browns. And that was with Mason Rudolph. Okay. Pittsburgh's offense, not as productive as in years past overall. But the real deficiency is not the change in the passing game with Big Ben going a different route, Casey. It's the running game. Non-characteristic for this team to not be very good in the ground game. And they're a little more than not very good. They're the lowest ranked run team in the league with just 84 yards rushing per game. There have been games where they have hardly had any rushing yards. Okay. Now, they're going to have to find some balance if they want to prosper in these NFL playoffs. Casey, defensively though, this has been a strong team all year. They were superb for a while. They did lead the NFL with 56 sacks. TJ Watt had 15 to lead the league himself. And they have Pro Bowlers at each level, with Cam Hayward on the defensive line, TJ Watt at linebacker, and then Micah Fitzpatrick in the safety position. Very, very strong defense. Now, they're third in total yards, third in passing, and third in points with just 19.5. Slightly less impressive, though, in stopping the run. Like you mentioned, they kind of slipped a little bit in that category, but they're still ranked 11th on the season, so that still is a pretty solid area for them. Defensively, they are one of the best teams at creating turnovers. That has helped the squad get to +9 on the turnover ratio for the season. They did, part of that slot, that little slide on defense, Casey, had to do with losing guys like Devin Bush and Bud Dupree.
Yeah.
And now Joe Hayden tested positive for COVID, so he won't be available for the game. That's got to really hurt for him, being a former Brown. So they're not at full strength like they were when they were winning those 10 straight games to start the season, but the defense has still accumulated all of those lofty stats. Those are legit. And it still is a very, very strong defense, man. This is going to be a tough battle, for Baker and the boys, in this game, but it is going to be fun to watch.
I can't wait, dude. Those divisional matchups in the playoffs are just so grimy, dude. Love it.
Yeah. You didn't get enough of these guys in the regular season, huh? But here they are again for you.
Can't wait.
Man, I cannot wait either, dude. Man, this is going to be good. All right, well, thanks for joining us here, folks. And don't forget to go ahead and subscribe to the Trend Zone podcast. It is available for you at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, Blueberry, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, and go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Instagram and Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at FootballDudesLA.
Or simply go to footballdudes.com. It's all there for your football-loving consumption. Casey, that is going to do it for another awesome episode of The Trend Zone. Heading into Super Wild Card Weekend. He's Casey, I'm Dave. We are the Football Dudes, and we are out of here. Enjoy the NFL playoffs, people.